definitive number.
Well, if you take the universe in hand, yeah, it is limitless, because, I mean, it's obvious that, I mean, just numbers alone, the stats will tell you that. I mean,
right. Billions and billions of stars,
Mr. Carl Sagan said. But it makes sense. I mean, I cannot attest to the fact that Mother Earth is the only planet in this whole ridiculous expanding whatever universe that inhabits life, according to us, what life is.
Right.
I mean, that's talking about being very open-minded right there, because what constitutes life? We've constituted life in our own way, right, where you can reproduce, you do this, you do that, you know, you do all kinds of fun things.
Self-aware and all that.
So, yeah, I mean,
What I'm saying, though, I think Phil Schneider may have been only talking about, and we can't ask him anymore unless we do a seance. He may have been talking about 11 that he knows
that
of.
That he knows of, yeah. I think he'd probably agree with you on that, Heidi, that there probably is a lot more out there.
Probably just 11 that are working with their government.
Well, and that's a lot of what he did. That's a lot of what he talked about.
With the government.
He was very connected to the government and then very disconnected from the government.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hence all these assassination attempts and stuff. But he was in on a lot of this stuff, according to him.
Yeah.
So maybe it was 11 that he knew of that were, you know, visiting the Earth for either good purposes or nefarious purposes.
So the
11 may have been just the number that he knew about.
But it does go back to what we were talking about originally, where these beings, whatever their names may be or whatever race they are more in tune spiritually,
exactly.
I'd say. They're more in tune than we are.
And,
which they
you
could
know,
be.
When you think of it, then they have a greater advantage than we do when it comes to things of that nature.
Well, myself personally, I've talked about this with people, and I think right now is a very important time. I'm feeling it. Maybe it's because I'm really involved with it now. I'm part of this whole game right now.
Right.
And maybe I'm paying more attention to it nowadays. But I personally feel that the human race, us bags of dirty water walking around the planet right now, we are starting to move towards that. I think people are starting to think a lot more about this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just the numbers alone with us tell us that. People are starting to get more aware of these things as far as spirituality goes, where they're starting to think a lot more about, hey, there's got to be more out there than just going to work every day. There's got to be more going on with life. And I think I'm seeing it personally from people myself. Like I said, maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it now. But I'm starting to see people starting to really think about spirituality.
People are just waking up.
More of an open sense, though, not just grabbing the Bible or whatever. Now, I'm not knocking the Bible, but not just grabbing the Bible and reading it frivolously every day, you know, thinking they're getting in tune with their spirituality. I'm talking about opening themselves up to anything.
Yeah, that's true. And I can't help but to wonder, though, too. I mean, when you look at television today, almost every night of the week, there's something about the paranormal on. We did not have that 15 years ago, and I wonder if this is making or helping people to feel more comfortable to talk about such things.
Well, people are getting more comfortable, I think.
Yeah.
Because we just talked about this a minute ago. I'll bump into somebody. And last night was some guy that listens to my band. He's a metalhead. The kid's got long hair. You know, he's cool. He wants to hang out. You know, he came to a show, and he started talking to me, and we somehow got on the subject, which we always do when you talk with me, about ghostly talk, right?
Okay.
So I start passing cards out. Hey, there we go, right? And then we get into this intense conversation, and the kid's eyes lit right up. And he's like, man, this stuff is intense, man. This has really got my brain working. And it's like, everybody I talk to get like that. They don't go, oh, God, you're nuts.
Right.
I mean, I haven't had somebody literally go, you're crazy, I don't like you anymore, go away. They go, tell me more. Explain this to me. I want to understand this, which I think is great.
But you know what? The people that are closest to you, though, family and friends, they'll be the first one to make fun of it.
Oh, they do every week.
Right. You know, strangers, they just, oh, please, I'd love to hear more. It's wild, the kind of acceptance.
It's funny. It's ironic like that, because we were discussing that before the show. The people that are closest to us always seem to call us during ghostly talk.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, 701, my cell phone was singing and singing.
Yeah, and it's like, these are the people that are closest to us. They know what our lives are about. They know what we do on Sunday night. But the people that we may have met, like, last week, are like, okay, I cannot bother this guy between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday nights, or he will kill me, right?
Ah, I
It's weird.
Doesn't value it as quite as much.
No, they don't. They don't. My mom loves to call me during the show. She thinks it's hilarious to call me during the show. She just gets a kick out of it, right?
And we get a kick out of talking to her, too, so that's awesome.
Well, I'm not even talking about on the ghostly talk. I'm talking about my cell phone,
on your
too.
Cell phone? Yeah, she does that.
But I think people are starting to open up a lot more now. I think people are starting to think about things like aliens, for example.
There's theories about that. I mean, there was the whole Indigo Child thing that everybody started noticing. You know, the kids seem to be more in tune with the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the Indigo thing, though, I think it's pretty much died down. I haven't heard a lot about
that
lately.
There isn't much going on, no.
But that happened, and that was a generation of kids, right, who suddenly seemed to be more in tune. The end of the Mayan calendar, I put a poll up.
I saw that.
On ghostlytalk.com. And it was a poll about, like, what's going to happen in 2012,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Mayan calendar ends, life goes on. That is the number one answer right now. Yeah. Everybody's voting for that one.
Oh,
but one of the things that I had heard, and this is a serious theory, mm-hmm. is that in 2012, something is going to happen that will bring humanity's spirituality or consciousness of spirituality up. A level.
Okay.
I can't imagine what could do it, because I know a lot of...
That would have to be huge.
Yeah, but something's going to happen that will bring it up a level.
Right.
The other thing that happens in 2012, of course, is anything after 2012, according to
Duncan Cameron.
Duncan Cameron and Al Balek
and Preston Nichols.
And Preston Nichols. Anything, because they did time travel experiments.
Right.
Kind of... half associated out of the Philadelphia experiment kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But according to those gentlemen, anytime they went past 2012...
It was a dreamlike state.
It was more of a dreamlike state than a real state.
Before that, it was more solid. They could see things, talk to people. There was things around. It was like everyday life.
And Al brought a magazine through once. I mean, a physical, hard, you know, paper magazine.
Uh-huh.
Brought it through the tunnel once. So you could pass some actual objects back and forth.
Yeah.
Except anything after 2012 was more of a dreamlike state.
Yeah.
So something interesting may or may not happen in 2012, but the theory, the base root of that theory is that something happens that will elevate the spirituality of the human race.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter if you're black or white or anything. It doesn't matter.
No.
It's the humans. If you're a human... this is going to elevate your spirituality, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know. Were the Mayans really, really that,
were they that smart?
Prophet?
Were they that smart?
Could they prophesy such a thing? I don't know, but I do know that there's a couple of interesting coincidences.
Yeah, and you know, since I was a kid, I don't know why, but that year has always just been a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just always stuck out in my head. Whenever people would talk about the end of the world, they thought it was the year 2000, and I was always like, no, that's a little too early, about 12 years off, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be after that. That's what all the... Every prophecy and thing that I've ever seen is set.
Refers to 2012.
Yeah, it's not 2000.
Right.
But people are thinking a lot more. And I mean, it's more physical things, too. I mean, you can get into aliens, too. People are starting to really think about this stuff a little bit more, going, I really wish somebody would just come out with it and say, because we, come on, man. I don't want to sit here and preach, but it's like, it happened, okay? Roswell happened. I am going to say that. I firmly believe that Roswell happened.
Right.
It did happen, and it was covered up. For whatever reason, it was covered up. Because people, oh my God, we wouldn't be able to handle the fact that there's somebody else out there that can fly around in spaceships, possibly, and come here and visit our planet. I personally think people could handle a little bit better than that, but apparently other people think that we can't.
Right. I think that's a bunch of crap.
Obviously,
it's people that are running the government that are in the know of what's truly going on, and they don't seem to be... losing it.
No, they don't. I mean, we've been doing a lot of work, obviously, as you can tell, Heidi.
Yeah.
And a lot of studying on the Philadelphia experiment and speaking with people about that.
That's cool.
Because this breaks down to Earth level. I mean, we're talking about experiments that are made of Earth elements. These machines are built out of, I mean, everything breaks down to the fundamental element on the periodic table of elements, right?
Right.
And we're talking about machines that are built from that to do these amazing things like travel time, mind control, right? We can, these are built from the earth. And that's what
that one thing that he had that was not a known element yet.
Well, that's what Phil Snyder talked about, carbonite.
Yeah.
Number 147 on the table of elements. There's only 101 elements on the table right now. Number 147. It has withstand temperatures, if I remember this correctly, it can withstand temperatures of 1,000,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
However,
it's indestructible.
But there's a spot for it.
There's a
spot for this thing that we haven't discovered yet. But yeah, that was the alien part of his technology.
Yeah,
that
that's
they
grown
used.
In space,
yeah.
In nurseries, right. And space hospitals. I mean, unfortunately, Bill Nell got us thinking about a lot of this stuff a lot more. Where we're starting to deal with a lot more of, you know. How do I say aliens? Okay, we'll say aliens. We'll just say aliens. It breaks down the science. It breaks more down to earth, though, where we're going, okay, I love studying ghosts. I really do.
Yeah.
And I still work with this stuff a lot, and I take audio. I do whatever I can. But you said it a few minutes ago where you're like, you know, ghosts and aliens. I mean, my theory, my grand unified theory right now, and these guys know it right now, is I want to find out how it all relates.
Oh,
how,
I gotcha.
How it all comes together. I think there's some glue there that holds all these mysteries from the pyramids to aliens to ghosts, whatever topic you want to talk about, there's something there, I think, personally, that holds it all together. And I think that's the true mystery right there, is how it's all related. And that is the story of our lives, I think.
I think you guys should probably do another kind of poll, because most of the people that I've met that have had some kind of alien contact, whether it's contact or abductions, they all report that at some point in their life they had poltergeist or ghostly activities going on in their home at some time.
It seems like that. For example, just today, we've talked about the MySpace thing. Heidi, you should get this for yourself too, by the way. When you get a chance, go to MySpace.com.
Okay.
It's a cool, cool little networking tool that we found.
Okay.
And we use it for ghostly talk, and we have tons of people.
There's all kinds of people on MySpace.com. It's really, really cool.
You have your own internal mail with the MySpace domain. You have your own little mail there. And that thing gets hit every day. Hey, I checked you guys out, man. And, hey, you know, can you tell me about... I had some weird stuff happen at my house about a year ago. And I'm like, okay, well, what happened? Well, I don't know. It's crazy. This thing just ran down the hall and kicked me in the face. I'm like, well, okay, well, maybe you pissed it off. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But people, like, they come out of the woodwork, though, like we said before. I mean, they just go, dude, you brought this up. Somebody finally brought this up. I want to talk about it now. Let's talk about this. And a lot of people, I think, they want to get it off their chest.
Well, that's why I think that that paranormal channel thing would really, really work.
It would open a lot of doors up for people.
Oh,
Jose,
yeah. And a lot of us that truly do this on our own passion, we're not getting paid for what we do, you know?
Yeah. And that
would really be a nice outlet.
It'd be a great outlet, because I think it would give people more comfort to do that.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to, really. I mean, that's what we learned the first day we got into this thing, was... people are afraid to bring these things up. I mean, I don't care if it's like, I saw a ship fly over my house, okay? Or I saw a person walk down the hallway in my house, and they don't live there, okay? I don't know what they make of this. And I know, and it still goes on today, that if somebody was to go to, like, person A goes to person B, who he's friends with, and goes, hey, man, I saw a ghost in my house. He's going to go, have another beer, buddy, all right? A lot of times that happens still. A lot of people are too busy with other things in life to really think about these things. I understand that. I know Doug understands that, too. Life can be real hard on you, where you have to think about your mortgage payment. And you don't want to worry about anything else, right? But I think, going back to that, I think people are starting to open up now. And I think it's a very good thing. Like, for example, if that channel was put into action, if it was actually set up, a lot of people would be like, whoa, I'm not alone. Not
right.
I can tell you it'd be my favorite channel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch it. It's probably the only TV I watch.
Yeah, you don't watch TV
I don't
anymore,
watch TV
do
at all,
yeah.
Period. I mean, it'd be something, an outlet for people to go, hey, and compare their stories or whatever their experiences with maybe what they're seeing on there. Which you can do that, and there's shows, there's specials out there that people go, well, yeah, that happened to me too. I don't know. But it just goes back to that, though, I think. where these things are starting to, these doors are starting
well,
to open up for people.
I'd also like to see it not dramatized.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they took the Sci-Fi Channel, for example, did that thing with Steven Spielberg, Aliens, or no, that's a show.
Taken.
And it was great the first, like, 10 hours or whatever. But then after, you know, after, like, the 50th hour, it got into, like, really, really off-the-wall stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And I didn't think that it went from very realistic, I think, a very realistic interpretation of, you know, historical documents, what's not been blacked out, you know, through the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
It went from a very real looking interpretation into a plausible interpretation into something that's
a love story.
Way
it was
bizarre.
Really whacked.
It went, yeah, it turned into this you know, total Hollywood stuff.
Well, that's
exactly because it, honestly, it was nothing that I would have ever thought they would come to the conclusion of. I love the historical part, but when it got to the endings, it was like, are you serious? You know, it's like, my God, people are being tortured from these beings, and you're making it seem to be something so pleasant and wonderful that it's equal to this one little girl. It's horrible.
Right. Well, it really went, it went the Hollywood step.
Well, yeah, and that's
reason.
That's the problem right there, and that's why we just told you what Ghost Hunting is about, Heidi.
A lot of it's very boring.
Yeah.
However, it's a heck of a lot more real than Taken.
Yeah.
It's a heck of a lot more real than, you know, for the 4th of July movie, whatever that one was.
Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a heck of a lot more real than all that stuff. And sometimes it's as scary.
That's the hurdle right there, though, Doug. I mean, let's just say the station was to be put into place. They were going to set up the station. How are they going to get people to watch these shows?
Well, yeah, see,
somebody like myself or you, Heidi,
yeah,
we're going to go, I mean, and you know what, one of these days when we actually get to meet each other, we're going to show you all this stuff on the Philadelphia Experiment. We're going to show you these videos, right?
Oh, that'd be cool.
And, I mean, I know somebody like you would be like, just wide-eyed going, my, what do they talk? Wow, right?
Well,
but if I was to take, like, one of my beer-drinking buddies from the band, right, and bring them and go, hey, watch this. And they're going to go, okay, there's three guys sitting in front of a video camera. The sound is horrible. The video is not very good. I mean, the quality is not very good. We all know that. But the information is what we're looking for. Unfortunately,
right.
It isn't the most dramatic thing in the world, though, either. It's,
right.
not, it's
not
a not good
like,
story.
There's not, like, lasers firing
no,
back and
no.
forth or
this
anything.
This is not Star
yeah.
Wars. This isn't anything like that at all. It's some guy sitting there telling you, look, this is what I experienced. And there's no love story here. I didn't fall in love and get married and have children. I didn't do anything
yeah,
like that.
They didn't titanicize
it. I had some guy firing energy into my head and it really hurt, okay? It wasn't fun. Or I was sent 40 years ahead in time.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you ask me, that's about as dramatic as it gets right there. Being sent 40 years ahead in time
right. Can
be a bit of a stressful day, if you ask me.
I mean, I gotcha.
I mean,
hard
most of us
awesome.
Can't even get out of bed sometimes, right? This guy went 40 years ahead in the future. That's a lot of work. Personally, but a lot of people don't look at it that way. Unfortunately, our media these days, the way the media works, and you think reality TV might have done something better for that. You think, well, it's reality TV. It's
right.
real life. It's real life. This is the way things really happen. Well, unfortunately, script that too now. So we're not going to win either way. That's the problem I see with putting together one of these stations, is that it could be exploited like that. And that would be a real problem. That would really turn me off, too.
Well, I think I've only talked to Jose Escamilla through email,
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, he's the founder of the rod, or he's the one who discovered the rods,
right?
That those weird creature things that exist in our space time, but exist faster than us,
right?
And so it's very difficult to see them, although on you know you can capture them on film, evidently, if you've got a high enough shutter speed. So what happens is the he had a story that he wanted to get out, and so he went through it with everybody. How do you get this story out? How do you tell the world, hey, I think that there's this creature living in our space-time, living in our realm, that just exists, and it just happens to be faster than us, so you hardly ever see them.
Yeah.
And how do you tell people that? You know, he ran into the same brick walls as everybody else.
Well, it's so frustrating, too, because it's like, come on, do you look into my eyes? Can you tell that I'm not trying to pull your leg? I really want to share something that's really, truly happening. And
yeah.
People just,
Well, trying to tell someone that, like you just said, Doug, for example, this, okay, there are beings around us as we speak, but they work on a different time clock, so to say, and they move much faster than we do. So our little puny human eyes, which, mind you, are some of the weakest eyes on the planet compared to some animals, cannot see these things as they come by us.
And people just don't...
How do you get your head around something like that?
Well, it's difficult. It is difficult. So you take it to any news media or any outlet, and they'll be like,
okay,
okay,
well, we'll get a couple girls in bikinis and throw them in there, and people love this thing.
Yeah. Put a Ferrari and a couple...
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You get some bling bling going, and...
If it was a talking car, they'd be all over it.
Well, yeah.
So it's just
didn't
so.
They do that already?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they did. Knight Rider.
Yeah, Knight Rider. Okay.
What do you guys think it is that's really truly putting this mental block up for people? It can't be all of the non-inclusion in our evening news. You know, there has to be. There's something in each of us, not you and I, but that's really having people turn a blind eye to these.
Well, I think people have short attention span.
Well, yeah, we all have the attention span of a fly.
But that's cultural.
That's cultural. As far as the American public goes, I know this from personal experience, and I'm sure a lot of people listening know this too. When I was growing up, and I was scared to death of the boogeyman, for example. There's a boogeyman under my bed, Mom! Scott, there's no such thing as the boogeyman. There's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as any of that stuff. There you go. That's the programming right there. Not saying my mom's a bad mother. She did a great job. But she was doing what she thought was best for me at the time. And now, my life took a weird turn a couple years ago and I met Doug. And now I'm like, okay, well, now I'm thinking about these things going, and what I like to call it, and I tell people this, I'm deprogramming myself. I'm relearning things. And I'm forgetting some things. I'm trying to shed this old skin I have so I can, now I want to see the boogeyman. I want to see the boogeyman pop
out.
Okay,
so you're saying that we were taught.
A lot of us were taught.
The fearful things. So if we, I don't have any kids. I don't know if you guys do either, but we're going to have some truly...
We're going to have some pretty weird kids, yeah.
That night.
Well, what I tell people, for example, I mean, our guitar player, Alex, just had a new baby. Well, God, it was a while ago. But when he had his baby, I was holding his baby. I was holding little Isaac in my hands, right? And I love looking at babies now. I look at them with a whole different set of eyes because babies, they say, well, they're out of it. They don't know what's going on. But they seem to be looking at stuff. They don't look at me. They don't care about me. I'm like, I'm doing all the faces and trying to be cute and do all that stupid stuff, and they don't want anything to do with me. But they're looking up into the ceiling, and they're looking over here, and they're looking over there, and they're looking, and it's like, what are you looking at, kid? What are you looking at? There's no programming there. That's a fresh brain right there. There's no fences been put up. There's no filters been put up.
That's
as opposed
true.
To myself.
Very true.
I mean, look at, I mean, cats, we've heard story of cats
dogs,
and dogs. They freak out for no reason at all, and they can't explain it.
Right.
Because we cannot communicate with them on the same level as we can with our children. So right. There's no filters possibly installed there, I mean, so to say. I mean, and I see, like I said, babies are the best example, I think. I love holding up. Not like I'm some softy or something. Well, I am a softy, but you know, I hold a little baby and I'm like, "What are you looking at, kid? What the hell are you looking? Tell me what you're looking at, right?"
I wanted to ask you guys something too in regards to you guys having a strong ghost curiosity. Have you ever come across people or other investigators like yourselves that look to the alien phenomena as being something just a little too far-fetched?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It blows my mind. I cannot see how ghosts can be considered as something a lot more pliable than aliens. It blows my mind. And I've seen all too often just even researchers that are in the UFO field, and I don't know if you guys have it in the straight-up ghost hunting field, but, like, there's conflict, like, of egos amongst researchers.
Oh!
Oh, my God! You know, we're not getting paid big bucks for these things, you know? You'd think we'd get a lot further if we would stop fighting each other. I mean, my God, we should be helping each other.
As a matter of fact, we could do a series of 900 shows and not get to even scratch the surface of that particular topic.
Oh.
I cannot believe how much politics...
Oh, it's just...
goes in. This is a hobby.
Well, yeah, and that's what we've been preaching
this
for two and a half years.
Yeah.
And we still run into it, and we're like, okay, look, man, sorry, but we don't care.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I have had people bash me to the highest. I mean, and people that know
who could
me,
bash you, Heidi?
I can't believe
who could
that.
Bash you?
God, people that are researchers themselves, of course, and like say they read my book. I even had a this woman, I should say, she's very well known in the UFO field, has done a lot of things, and read my book and took the time to write me to tell me that my whole research and everything was wrong, you know, just because my experience that I wrote of in the book wasn't anything that she'd come across personally. It could not have existed. I mean, just straight up in my face, bashing. Just crazy. Even on the internet, people will just go after you. Other researchers.
Well, that's...
You know, we have a society that... accept us so easily. And you're going to come out, you know, out of your way to come after me, somebody that's supposed to be your fellow researcher.
Well, we've had that happen to us.
Oh, yeah.
And we just take it with a grain of salt and go, yeah, well, get your... Well, what happened to us originally when we started doing the show was... We got a few emails where people were going, well, why don't you do more this? You need to do more that. You don't do that. And you guys don't do that. Well, okay, fine. That's cool. Start your own show. And you know what the funniest part was? They did.
Some of them did.
They did.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, now you're doing something. That's cool.
Right.
As opposed to sitting there, well, I don't like your viewpoint. Well, why?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, just like you're saying, Heidi, I think it's really bizarre because you would think that instead of saying, okay, and taking the time to either privately or publicly, you know, berate all of your ideas, instead of doing that, why wouldn't the outlook be, I mean, it makes more sense that the outlook would have been from, how can we learn from both of their stories? My research, what I've done, and your research, what you've
done.
Let's
find the similarities in there. Let's look at it.
Find the differences and find out how they clash, how they mesh,
yeah.
What can it possibly mean for an overall unified grand theory of paranormal? And instead of that outlook, it's more like, okay, you know, you're going to be outcast from me and my circle of friends because you said this.
Exactly, and it gets nasty, and I really don't see where the ego is coming from. I mean, I know that I'm working like a dog, and I sure don't get paid for all my time, you know?
No.
I'm doing a lot of things because it's my passion, but I just truly don't understand that somebody that's into these fields, that's truly following what they really believe in and want to, you know, bring to the world to be able to understand a little bit better, I don't see how any kind of conflict can truly arise. I mean, there's no limits to this, the paranormal,
well,
you know, UFOs or anything.
Mm-hmm. I think there's three people on the planet that I can think of off the top of my head who are making money out of ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And that would be...
Same here with the UFO field.
Yeah, there you go. And it would be Sharon and Dave Oster.
Mm-hmm.
They're the International Ghost Hunter Society.
Mm-hmm.
And look what they've done. They've actually published their standards. They've published their, you know, everything, and they said, okay, and we want groups to follow these standards so that we bring some semblance of you know, standardization to the ghost hunting field. So they've done work. I mean, that's hard work to try and get people to actually agree on something.
Yeah.
So Sharon and Dave Oster, and then probably Richard Crowe, who's doing, you know, like the ghost tours of Chicago, and he does the... you know, all the stuff in Chicago. So and that's what he does now, is he does all the tours, and he's out there every night or I don't know his tour schedule, but he's out there middle of the night with stranger upon stranger packed in a bus, you know, and trying to tell them ghost stories about Chicago, and I give him a heck of a lot of credit for that, because he's going to run into these people face to face. At least when I run into them, it's over the telephone or through the email, you know.
Well, I offer to meet them face to face, but they never want to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're usually like, I'll meet you out back. Yeah.
That's exactly how I sound, too.
Right.
I'll meet you out back, all right? Yeah.
I think that we need to release a list of conduct.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That list of conduct, it's pretty much, I thought it was imprinted in our brains, and we were kind of raised with morals, like, okay, you know, well, as far as this field goes, like we said, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. I mean, and that's what's so cool about it, and I don't even know who said it. I forgot who said it, but it's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. The studying the paranormal, I don't care where it is the only field that you can be an expert and still not know a damn thing about it at the same time. Because there's so much out there. There's so many ideas. Heidi has her ideas. We have our ideas. You listen to Coast to Coast, there's some guy on there every night talking about a different idea of reality.
Well, I have to say, and I've heard there was one show on Coast to Coast that I could not believe. And I wrote it up in my journal. I listen to these things now. Heidi, do you listen to Coast to Coast?
I do sometimes. Yeah.
They have some interesting ideas go across that show, and I have to give George and Art and Barbara
and Ian
all the props, because I don't know how they deal with some of it. But but what happens is this one guest they had actually thought Jesus and Santa Claus and presents and everything represents mushrooms. And yeah. I don't mean mushrooms like the kind on your pizza. I mean mushrooms, the kind that, you know, you dry them out and then you put them
on your tongue.
Oh, come on.
Everything represents mushrooms. And I thought, okay, there's something up with that. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Every man has his breaking point, and women, too, I think. That was your breaking point, I think.
That stepped over the boundary. My boundaries are
very wide.
Very, very wide. Yeah, I can accept a lot of things in and say, okay, here's the thing. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Where can I fit that into my worldview without breaking any other views that I have? Mm. That one was just a bit much. I think presents under the tree are really just presents. You know, from me to you or from you to me, you know, that kind of thing. I think that it's a nice gesture back and forth and something that should be done
once a year. Oh, it's a pain in the butt. You know it is. Come on, man. Yeah.
And then, I think that Santa Claus is simply, a commercial figure.
Well, he was evil. No, we have the proof on that.
Oh, yeah, Santa Claus is evil.
Santa Claus was an evil man.
But
We'll get to that during Christmas.
I think he's a commercialized icon is all he is.
Well, absolutely.
You know, I think.
Thank you, Coca-Cola, for that. I appreciate that.
I think that, you know.
We just propped Coca-Cola. God.
No, you propped them in jest.
Ah, yes.
So that helps. But you know, I just really don't think that particular figure represents a mushroom. So there are certainly some ideas that are even outside of my fairly open boundary.
But it comes down to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know what? When it comes to alien abduction versus contact even, I mean, you'll really be surprised at how many people that are out there that don't believe positive alien contact indicates actual contact. They think only abductions are what occur. And what, I mean, you guys know the typical scenario for abductions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anal probe.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It hurts. Anal
probe. Yeah. I mean, people are taken against their will, kicking and screaming, they're raped and so on. And there's actually been researchers that have come forward and said, well, if that hasn't happened to you, you truly haven't had any kind of alien contact. I mean, even amongst, again, we're back to the researchers having static amongst each other, because they'll put down anybody that's outside of what they're aiming to prove. You know,
what is a positive alien contact then? Well, I mean, according to you, Heidi.
I'm sorry, what's that?
What would be a positive, like contact?
Being that's not a gray or a reptilian or a shadow person or anything like that that's meaning to do anything against your will, anything that comes to you to talk to you as you are, or if they come to you in a kind of a spiritual-like form. I mean, a lot of times aliens don't come very solid either. And, you know, have some kind of conversation with you or try to teach you something.
Well, yeah,
I mean, there's so many people that are having these things happen, but when there's a researcher that's having somebody coming to them saying, hey, I'm having this contact, and it's different from what you've written about, they will disregard what that person is saying. So they're truly not reporting the full spectrum of the alien contact going on. Because that doesn't prove their point to show that, you know, all abductions are like this or all alien contacts like that. And it's limiting. It's limiting people, and I think it's creating another, like, closeted form of people who have had alien contact to sit at home and say, maybe it was a dream, you know. Maybe I didn't learn anything about these these different kinds of beings. They, you don't see them in the movies, and you don't see them on Hollywood shelves of the Greys or anything like that. I mean, there are so many different types of alien beings out there, and people are not hearing about what's going on. And if they don't see it being reported more widely, I think they're discounting their own experiences more and more.
Well, it's easy to talk yourself out of something.
Yes,
it's very difficult to talk yourself into something. Like, for example, when you go through some kind of experience, mm-hmm. It would be really, really easy for me to say, because I've seen, even though I'm a ghost hunter of however many years now, 3-4 years, I've seen one ghost. It would be really easy for me to say, oh, maybe it wasn't a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe
your way out of it.
Yeah, maybe it was what are those flashes in the eye or whatever? I hallucinated, or you know, maybe I hallucinated and you
right.
know. But I have a hard time. You know, it's easy to talk yourself out of it because I could easily just say dismiss that and never talk about it again, other than oh well, you know, I hallucinated. Except for it's a hard time, you know, explaining that to Scott, who had to peel himself off the windshield. You know, because I did have to stop the car rather abruptly, otherwise I would have hit this.
Oh, it was a ghost in the road.
Yeah, it was a ghost on the road.
Cool.
And I almost hit him, and I had to stop the car very, very quickly.
Wow.
And, of course, it was a ghost in the road, so I didn't have my camera with me because I was driving. You know, that's my luck, though. But but what happens is, the you know, I'd have a hard time telling Scott, no, I think I injured you because I had a hallucination.
Right.
And he'd be
right.
like, well, I'm never riding with exactly. you again, you know.
But speaking of ghosts, the last ghost that I saw was one of the freakiest ones I ever saw, and I'm surprised I didn't like react more. But I woke up to a very short young woman without her head.
Ah!
Yeah, standing at the side of my bed. And I remember rolling over, looking up, and going, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I rolled back in bed. And it was just like, I'm done, you know, with that, whatever. And then, like, maybe 10 minutes later, I felt the presence of the same ghost, but this time it was just the head floating in the same spot where her body
right.
was.
That would freak me out, Heidi.
It was pretty freaky, and I'm like, all right, that's wonderful. And I was just so tired, I just rolled back in bed. But, like, a couple nights later, I had something call my name. And I don't know what it is, but when something talks to me, I'm up and out of bed.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah?
Because my roommate
mm-hmm.
calls your name in the middle of the night. Ooh!
Shut up!
Shut up! I want to get that on tape.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott! Hey, Scott!
Yo, Scott!
Yo, Scott! Hey, do it! Come on! Hey, get out here!
No, just hear him doing that. No, Timmy, my roommate. When I bought the condo last year and he moved in and started wreaking havoc on the whole place, he came to me and said, "Hey, man," because he has to put up with all my banter about the radio show all the time. He does it very valiantly, I might add, too. But he came to me one day and said, "Hey, man, you know what? I noticed something. Because this sounds like this has happened to you too, Heidi. It's happened to me a few times also, where you're going to sleep and you're getting deeper and you're getting deeper. I love this voice. You're getting deeper and you're getting deeper and you're going, and all of a sudden, hey, Scott!" And I'm like, "Ah!" And I jump up and I'm like, "Okay, all right, that sucked. All right, I'm going to sleep." Timmy came to me and he's like, "Hey, man, when I moved in here, I've never had this happen to me in my whole life. It's happened to me twice in the last week, where I'm just going to sleep, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting deeper, and you're getting deeper, and you're getting Tim!" And he's like, "Ah!" And he jumps out of bed. He said it happened to him twice. Now, I don't know if that's the same thing you're talking about, but it's like somebody, it's so real, too. It's so real. It feels so real, where it's like somebody literally put their mouth to my ear while I was, like, going to sleep and just... I've had it done to me in real life, and it's not very pleasant either way, right? It scares you. It startles you. It jumps you right out of bed. Literally, you will pop up and be like...
That
the one I had, it didn't scream at me. It just kept saying my name over and over, and I'm like, okay, that's not in my dream. And I get up, and it's coming from my closet. Oh, that's it.
I'm out of there.
I did the little, you know, blessing in each corner of the room and went back to bed.
Nope, that's it. I'm going home. I'm going back to Mom and Dad's house. I'm staying there.
I'd have been watching TV the rest of the night. Yeah.
I swear to God, it does not matter where I move, where I live. Every time, there something will pop up. And, I mean, you could ask my past roommate psychologists because they've all been victimized, too, by it.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm like a walking vortex. I'm like, gosh, you know, that's why I truly, you know, ghosts and me, I just find them to be a nuisance. They're nosy.
well,
they're just, because they used to be people, so they have these people needs, and they're just peeking when you're showering, and they'll hang over you while you're sleeping. And I'm like, I just don't like their feel because of that, you know?
Well, fortunately, you can tell them to go away, and I really believe that by the law of, you know, the universal law of karma and all that stuff, I think that they have to do what you say.
Oh, yeah. I get rid of them, but it doesn't mean that the next one walking by isn't going to stop in.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
I tell you, pride's a good thing, too, because when you buy your first home, this is from personal experience, because I've had a couple nights so far where I heard something funny,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it wasn't the refrigerator grinding like it normally does or something. I heard something funny, and I'd kind of like, you know, normally when I'm at home, all the lights are off, there's candles lit, it's like a seance in there at all times, right?
Right.
And I'll be in my room, like, on the computer, you know, in pitch dark, except for the glow of the monitor in front of me, and I'll hear something funny out in the living room, and I'll poke my head out, and I'll look around, and I'll get scared for a second, right?
Right.
But then I'll go, my pride will kick in. Now listen here, guys. This is my house. You know, I mean, I finally get to say that for the first time in my life, right? So I'm taking full advantage of this too. This is my house, okay? So if you want to hang out, feel free. Just don't make any noise, all right? I don't need you waking me up, all right? Just be quiet. And generally, it tends to quiet things down. I don't know if there's something actually going on.
Right.
It's all psychology, right there.
I gotcha.
But you know, I tend to, if you stand up a little bit to yourself, if you're in the shower, if they want to look at me in the shower, you want to torture yourself, go right ahead. I mean, that's what you,
if it's not like they can touch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I stand my ground. I mean, that's the only thing I'm able to do to try to move these guys out of the way or whatever. But, I mean, it's not like I see ghosts constantly. I usually feel them more than see them, but when they want to make themselves be seen, whoa.
Well, the theory that I would have come up with for this particular thing is, if you're attracting them like that, if they're coming, you know, if they're finding you,
yeah.
Then you must be like, I don't know if you've ever seen Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg. Anyway, if you ever seen Ghost with her, she didn't want you know, him hanging around and stuff and making her do stuff, but she was an available medium or whatever, and he needed her help and needed to get the message across and stuff like that. So are you there, Heidi? Uh-oh, I think I lost her.
Yes, it looks like you did.
Can you? I'll tell you what. Let's go to break. We'll get Heidi back on the phone. And that was my fault, you guys. I'm sorry.
Did you break the phone?
Yeah.
For 2 seconds
today. 2 seconds.
MrOla.com. See what you've been missing out on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Services such as web and pop-free email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOla.com.
That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit WParanormal.com.
Okay.
Boy, I'm sure glad that we didn't have to listen to the rest of that song. I hate that song!
You hate KMFDM?
I hate KMFDM.
I'm sorry.
Heidi hates him, too.
Yeah.
She told me, like, I hate KMFDM. Turn that off right now. I don't... No, I can't work like this. No, I have to go. So we had to keep her on, right? Sorry about that, guys. Where's Doug? I want to blame him. It's all his fault. Here he comes.
I'm sorry for breaking the studio.
Are you done crying? You okay?
Yeah,
you feel better, Doug?
Yeah.
You okay? God, I get up for a second. I mean, how long was it? I just got up for a second.
I come back to Xanax, and I'm all set now.
I come back, the lights are broken, the window's knocked out. There's
people everywhere.
People are everywhere. There's a party. There's a guy working the door, charging cover. There's a disco ball.
What? Sorry about that.
My God.
And I was on a roll, too, because...
Well, let's go. Let's go with it.
What
man.
I wanted to say to Heidi,
yeah.
And I'm sorry for hanging up on you. I really didn't mean it. I just, like, threw the phone off onto the floor. But
you didn't mean to throw the phone.
No, I did not mean that.
It was a total accident. I just grabbed the thing and threw it.
But what I was saying is that you might actually be in an extremely unique situation where they may be able to communicate through you or with you, and they're trying to or whatever, and then you're like, no, I don't have time for this because it's not your particular interest. Yet if it were happening to me, I'd be the opposite. I'd be like, hey, I got these ghosts coming at me, and I'm going to try and contact them. I'm going to try and find out what they want, you know, that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
So it might be like you might have, like, the right biochemistry for it.
Right.
But well, not the interest, whereas I have the wrong biochemistry, but the interest. So it's really,
well,
really bizarre.
I do have an interest in ghosts. Actually, that's what got me into ufology eventually, because I grew up in a haunted house, so
mm-hmm.
my interest from the start. And poltergeists and ghostly apparitions and everything happened at my house growing up. So it's always gone on around me. And I have an interest in it, but when, I don't know, it's just like this little... nuisance of them. I mean, like the headless woman. What can you do with that?
Yeah, right, especially at that time during the middle of the night and stuff. There, you know, I mean, because there is a time. For example, can you imagine what, like, John Edward and James Van Praagh go through? I mean, they must go through, like, you know, like, all right, you guys, you know, I'm closing the door and locking it, and that means you can't come in now because this is, you know,
I wanna go to
my
sleep.
Time to go to sleep.
Right. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
I always get in the middle of the night type of stuff, and but I do get a lot of intuition off people, I guess you could say. I tell people it's like a bad stank that comes off people. And so it's like, ooh, what was that? What did I just step in? It's like, oh, my God. It's crazy. It's like you don't know what it is. You ever get that, like, that crazed feeling, and it doesn't come from you. It's like coming from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh,
you pick
my
up
God.
Their vibe.
I pick up on that sometimes, and I really, with that, I really had to learn how to put up a wall because people were just throwing stuff, you know, without any consideration.
Well, and they say that one of the things, as a matter of fact, they taught me this in high school. I was actually in high school in a real class, a public school class.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they were talking about was, I guess you have to learn social skills. Now, if you don't have social skills by high school, but anyway, they...
I'm at 29. What are you talking about?
But they go, one of the things they said, and it was very serious, and it was extremely true.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what kind of a mood you're in, okay? But if you're going to run this experiment, you've got to run it right. Pick a situation, and it could be the worst possible situation. It could be an IRS audit, right? Uh-huh. It could be a family dinner, something like
that. Yeah,
like
something real comfortable.
Yeah, you're really dreading, or maybe you're going to a job interview, or you're going to something stressful, something that you don't necessarily want to. Mm. But if you purposefully decide on the inside, you have to decide it on the inside. You can't act. Acting don't do it. You got to convince yourself this is what you're going to do. You're going to go in there and be the happiest, most charming, most outgoing person on the planet.
That's true.
And you go in there, you actually, and it's true, it happens. I've done it myself. You actually affect the entire room.
Yeah.
You affect everybody.
That's true.
And there can be somebody so miserable, and there are a lot of miserable people, because I know I talk to them on the phone every single day. And this doesn't mean any of my friends. This means the people, because I have to answer phones for 5 hours a day. And during these 5 hours, I get the people, all they want to do is whine and grovel and be miserable about them, their situation, their life, themselves, uh-huh. their in my particular situation, their computer equipment.
Mm.
Right.
They want to just whine about absolutely everything, and they're the most miserable person on the planet. And sometimes you cannot bring them out of it because you're just not enough. You know, when you're just a voice on the phone, you can't.
Mm.
But if they were physically in a room or something, and you walked in and you had this, you were just absolutely determined from the inside,
mm-hmm.
that you were going to be as happy, outgoing, as possible, and you were going to make a good time of it, no matter what it is, yourself, you were going to have a good time. And it could be, it could be any situation.
Mm-hmm.
You decided you're going to have a good time of it. You go in there, you actually do affect them.
Yes,
you can.
That's very true.
And it's because you throw off your vibes,
right.
And their vibes. Most people don't want to be miserable. There are people who do. There's people out there who want to be miserable. They want to grovel. They want to be
chaos.
Yeah, they want the chaos. They want to always be the underdog, that kind of thing. And they like it.
Yep.
And that's their own station in life. They're happy with it, although, they're miserable about it. But they love it to death, right? They love it to miserable pain. They love it. It's just a great thing. And that's fine. You won't be able to affect them.
Right.
But the people who are really just having a bad day, or the
yeah,
people who
exactly.
really are, good people who don't want to always be miserable, they're going to be affected by your energy. And I've seen it happen, and they told me in school, they said, that it does happen. This was in a regular public high school class.
Wait, you learned something?
This. Yeah. And,
wow.
And I thought I'd try it, and I tried it in college, and sure enough, it works.
Oh.
It does. It really works.
And there's people that will feed off from you, which they call energy vampires.
Right. But there's certain situations where that's not a bad thing.
No.
I mean, yeah, doing it without your knowledge or without your consent, that's a bad thing. But if you decided ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into this. I don't know. It could be ballet recital, right? Something really boring.
Mm.
Well, although it's not boring for all people, but it could be something
boring
for
us, though.
Yeah, boring for someone like me. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to have the best darn time of my entire life. I don't care.
I think you're pushing it now.
Okay, that is tough to do. That is tough to do. But you go in there and you're going to have this great time. And you go in and you're just obviously having a great time. There's going to be miserable people who are around you who you may want to lend your energy to just to bring the level of the room up. Because
right.
once they start generating their own happy energy and good energy, it goes from there. It starts
mm-hmm.
to build. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
It really does work that
I've
way.
I actually had somebody come in my face and say, "Stop being so darn happy all the time."
That was me.
I've had that.
I mean, man.
I've had that.
Really? I mean, that's a low blow. It's like, geez, they want to make sure everybody around them is
well.
That's how they do.
In defense of that person, to a certain degree, I love happy people. I like people that are laughing. I think laughter is the most wonderful medicine for anything.
Yeah.
You need to laugh. It's that's why we do this show, because we laugh all the time. but there are certain people that I've come in contact with that at 5:00, 6:00 in the morning when I walk into my job,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting there just trying to grovel down like a pot of coffee just to get myself jump started to get through the day. There'll be this one person that walks by and is like, "Scott, how you doing, man? What's up? Good to see you, man. You are, oh, man, hey, you looking good. Hey, all right. I'm going to kill you. You don't get away from me.
It's 5 a.m.
I have not even had a sip of this coffee yet, and you are too chipper for this time of the morning.
Right, right.
Come to me at 11 o'clock, and I might talk to you. I might talk to you. Maybe I sound like a complete jerk, which I probably do. But there's just people that I've run into that they... Okay, man, look. You're too happy, which means you're not stable.
Well, certain situations.
I'll tell you the greatest one ever. I was going to... God, this is going to be horrible. Heidi, close your ears.
Okay.
I was going to use the restroom one day at work.
Ah.
And I walked into the restroom, went to do my thing, you know, just what guys do, right? And this gentleman walks up next to me. You know, and we all know the men's bathroom etiquette, you know, look straight ahead, don't ever let your eyes wander, you know.
Exactly,
you don't
want to
get killed by anybody.
Look forward.
Look tough, look mean, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, great.
You're getting business done.
You're taking care of this, and I'm going to get the hell out of here. Nothing else, I don't want to talk.
See, men's bathrooms don't have couches.
Yeah, they don't have that. Yeah, there's no
magazines and stuff like that.
You go in there, you get it done, you get out, right?
That's it.
So, I go in, this one, okay, I'm going to get this done, get back to there, and be productive. Okay. Next comes up next to me is, we'll call this guy Mike.
Okay.
His name's Mike. Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on? Oh, hang on. He answers his phone. Now, I give him credit for being able to do two things at once like that.
Wow.
That's damn near impossible.
That's tough.
That's like rubbing your belly and pop, you know, patting your head at the same time. I can't do it.
Right.
Right? This guy is, beans are on the table. Frank's are in the kitchen. Okay, cool. All right. Click. Yeah, my son's making dinner right now.
And you're like,
I'm like, dude,
all I want to do is finish and get out.
dude, shut up. Leave me alone, right? That's, I mean, and I'm only trying to justify without trying to sound like a complete jerk. There are just a couple people that, okay, there's something wrong with you. I don't know where it is yet, but I think you're going to snap and you're going to kill us all. But I no, really, I like.
Well, I have to say,
Heidi, you have the point. I mean,
I've never decided that I'm going to have a great time going to the bathroom. That's not one of the situations.
Well, that's the point right there. I'm going to go there, get it done, get out. It's something I need to get done.
You guys don't have a lounge, so that's.
Yeah, we don't have a lounge.
Well, you guys powwow, you hang out, you know, it's like. No, I'll never understand that.
Can you put one of them Stouffer's in the microwave for me? Oh, thank you, thank you. I'll get it in 5 minutes.
We'll bring our cocktails in, sit down.
We just don't have that.
It's an event for you guys.
Yeah.
It's a chore for men.
Yeah. The exact opposite.
It's like, I got to get up and move.
Yeah.
I got to go all the way over to that bathroom. Oh, God, man. I mean... I'm sure they're working on like a urinal/lazy boy somewhere in the world.
Because
men will be so happy when that comes out, right? But no, happy people are great. I mean, I understand what both of you guys are saying completely because I feed off. I mean, I'm a vampire myself. If I'm having a bad day, I have people that I will literally go to.
There's times when I need just that little extra push from someone to.
Oh, Doug, you're the king of that. I mean, when I need to pick me up, I'll talk to you. I mean, I'm not.
I
love you too, Doug. You're so friendly.
There was one time. Will came over. I had the worst, absolute worst possible day or couple of days.
Will cheered you up.
Well, no, he came over and he dragged me out of the house. I hadn't slept. I hadn't eaten. I had no money. I was absolutely miserable. 87 bad things had happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I think I had even left my prosthetic leg at work or something. I mean, it was that bad that I was, you know, I mean, babies would cry as I walked by. It was bad. And Will
flowers would die.
Yeah, flowers were wilting. And Will came over and he's like, can you go help me put up these decorations on the Octagon House? And I'm like, oh, I hope you have health insurance because that's what I said, didn't I? I said I hope you've got insurance because you're gonna have you're gonna have me holding the ladder and it's just gonna like collapse. I mean,
Doug was a walking catastrophe that day.
I did nothing went right that day except that really changed my day because he dragged me out of the house. Nothing bad happened on the way there. When we got there, we learned somebody had already put them up.
Right.
So that totally changed the rest of that day. I still stayed locked in my house, once I got home. But you know, I just to make sure.
Well,
but it
yeah.
really changed my outlook. I needed that.
You need that push. You need that push. And there's good people for that. Oh, we have. Okay.
That's
cool.
The end of the show.
This isn't the end of the show.
How can it be the end of the show? We can kick W Paranormal off.
Yeah. Rob, Bob, come on. Give us a break, man. We got Heidi on.
Heidi, push your website.
Oh, alienadvice.com. Anybody that wants to drop on in there that has a question about ghosts, angels, aliens, holy encounters, anything, I'll cover it all.
Yeah, and it has been covered, and it will be covered again. I know it will. I mean, the site's phenomenal. I love reading the site. It's such a fun site to read. And, I mean, it's like what we talked about originally. It's people that are actually willing to come forth. Well, it's a comfortable medium, too. I mean, I know you. If somebody says, hey, I want to be anonymous,
right,
you'll say, hey, no problem. I'll make you anonymous.
Right, exactly.
It's a comfortable medium, and it's a good way to do that, where people can come out and get these out in the open and maybe learn a little bit from it and go, okay, well, maybe I'm not the only person, or this is what's going on. Okay, I understand now. So
right,
it's a good medium for that. And you give some great advice, too, I might add.
That and of course, your second book is going to come out sometime.
Sometime.
We would
I
need a
soon.
Yeah, we'll need a crystal ball to find out exactly when right now. But you're watch alienadvice.com. I'm sure you'll make an announcement there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And you're also linked up on ghostlytalk.com, which is our site.
Yeah, you have the permanent link on there.
Yes.
You're part of our permanent link.
It's like, with you guys. It's good to just vent, you know?
Sometimes.
I think we did rant a bit,
but we also learned a heck of a lot.
Absolutely.
I love chatting with you guys. Anything and everything is cool to cover with you guys, because you have such an open mind and everything. I just love it.
Except for mushrooms.
No mushrooms.
For the mushrooms.
No, I don't want. I think mushrooms are gross even on pizza. So
yeah,
I don't want
well,
to deal with any of that. Period.
Those
things away from me.
So thank you so much for coming on the show, Heidi.
Yeah, Heidi, stay on the line. We're gonna close the show out, okay?
Alrighty.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's it, man. Unfortunately, these are the shows I hate
because
they go so fast.
Well, do you remember the first bunch of Ghostly Talks that were only an hour?
Yeah.
And we thought we'd never get through any of them. We're like, oh, this hour's dragging on and on. And then
we
expanded to 2 hours, and now suddenly that's not.
We're talking about somebody bringing somebody up. Okay, now you guys know how I looked when I walked in here.
Mm-hmm.
And how I was sounding, too.
Yes, yes.
I was pretty rough. And we've done this interview. I didn't want to call it an interview. It was a conversation.
You still don't look that great.
Shut up, Will. But
you do. You've got a different energy now.
I'm picked up now. And I can probably go for another 24. Well, no.
You got your fourth wind.
Win. My fourth wind is kicked in officially. I'll be able to drive home without getting killed.
Woo!
We helped pick you up.
Thank you. Oh, I thank you, honey. You guys got me going here again. And I might actually get the archive up on time tonight. Who knows?
Oh, that would be neat. So, anyway. You
That's
guys.
Night, yeah.
This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And of course, Karma will be back again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, thank you, Heidi. Thank you, everybody. W Paranormal is coming up next.
Bye!
On Pioneer.
Go away!
Yes.
You go now!
Pull them down. Pull those
get
covers down. We're done with this show. This one's over.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.